G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 18A.
We go on in our consideration of what multidimensional holism really implies. It implies what, among others, also what is called generally the law of general translatability. That these levels, as we have seen, are not layers, but are nested levels. Therefore, they constantly are translating themselves to the other levels because they are synonymous, and therefore they blend with each other. So that when we have our model of being in front of us, that we are aware that there is constantly the whole going on, and that whole translates itself constantly in various dimensions, so that there is a principle of general translatability. It has many things to do with the translation of immortal mind, but applied to a quite different field, namely applied to the various levels. So that we can see that being or nature really is played out on many dimensions, that on the stage of that whole play that nature presents to us, there are many, many levels, but that every level, this is now fundamental, that every level reflects in some unique way always the whole, not just a part. So that we must see every level has something to do with the whole of the model of being. Out of that we will draw quite a few practical conclusions then. That every level also can be translated to a lower level. And the other way around, that every level also can be overformed, can be elevated to a higher level, or it has within itself the drive to go on and evolve to a higher level. So that there is a structure isomorphy between all the levels. In a way, they are isomorphic. You know what isomorphic means? Iso means of the same, and morphic comes from form, of the same form, of the same gestalt, so to say. So that they are not something else. Just as we have seen with the human body, it's always the human body, no matter from which level the specialist looks at it. It's still the same human body. So that there is a structure isomorphy existing between these levels. And they are isomorphic because they are synonymous. So they always refer to the same, namely to the whole. So that every level blends with every other level. That means, as a further big subject that we will have in Christian Science, that we will have to see how one level interplays with another level. What laws are ruling between the levels. We call those laws, laws of interdependence. So that there is a law of interdependence between the level of science itself and divine science. A law of interdependence of the law of divine science with absolute Christian science, and another one between absolute Christian science and Christian science. And if we know these laws, you will see that our practice becomes quite different. That our treatment takes on quite a different nature. That it is a much profounder, much more authoritative treatment. Another point which we will see is that every level has its own laws. That the laws on one level are not the same laws as on another level. We have seen that already also in nature that the laws in the atoms are different than the laws in the molecule and different than the laws in a cell, etc. And so it is in Christian Science, that with the understanding of the chart, we will have to see that we understand what are the specific laws ruling or reigning, governing on every level. So that we have many laws that will teach us what is going on one level. And then we will also see that because every level is stressing a different aspect of being, that every level has its own logic, that we have to get away from the old two-valued logic and see that every level has its own logic, all, so to say, under the one-valued logic, but then under that one-valued logic, every level presents itself in a different way. Actually, we have written a booklet on the logic of Christian Science. These booklets are available. They are not well read because the subject seems to be a bit abstract, perhaps a bit difficult. But after this week, perhaps you go back and take out of your shelf that little booklet, a yellow booklet, and read it again. And perhaps now it will make more sense. This is important because we have been used over thousands of years only to think constantly in a two-valued logic. Every science of the old science has had only one logic, the two-valued logic. But in the oneness of being, you cannot have a two-valued logic. You can only have a one-valued logic, or it is contradictory. It's absolutely logic to say that if being is one, and if there is only one being and not two different beings, not two different realms, then the logic must be a one-valued logic. So that we can see that in order to fathom reality, we'll have to take in quite a few new aspects that restructures our consciousness. Well, and that naturally applies then to healing. That these levels will all show us that we cannot treat every case with the same laws, so but that the practice is a very different one if the problem is one that is specific for the level of Christian Science, or if it is specific for absolute Christian Science, we will use quite different laws in treatment. And if it's a subject is a subject that belongs into the realm of divine science, that we have to use the laws of divine science and not the laws of Christian Science, or we just can't make an impact on that problem. So this is, let's say, the theory of it, the general concept of it. With this foundational work, I hope that I have made clear something about the necessity of dimensionalism. Now, let's see how this applies to the subject of Christian Science. How that applies now to our model of being, and from now on I'm talking about the chart and introduce the subject first. Why on earth did we actually come at one point to the question that there should be or might be or are different levels of consciousness or different levels of science in Christian Science? Because certainly we didn't hear that in the Journal, nor in the Sentinel, nor in the Monitor, nowhere, in no teaching. This has been an unfoldment that has come to John Dorley because, as I might have time to show you, has evolved in a very natural way out of the intrinsic order of being. But one of the most common question that should really put us on the path of looking for dimensions is something that practically every student of Christian Science is asking and is wondering about. Namely, every intelligent, I mean every student that reads the textbook in an intelligent way, not just in a dogmatic way, just accept every sentence as it is, but is thinking about it, he has come always to sentences, to statements, where he feels that they were paradoxical, that they were contradictory. No searcher of the textbook could miss that, because it seems when, as long as one does only know a one-dimensional reasoning, that many statements must seem to be contradictory. I just take out of those many possible evidence just a few to show what I mean. For instance, in the textbook I read, truth has no consciousness of error. And we say, yes, that's very reasonable. That's very simple to understand. Truth has no consciousness of error. Love has no sense of hatred, naturally, or it wouldn't be love. So love cannot have a sense of hatred. Okay. Life has no partnership with death. Oh yes, that's common sense. There's nothing very deep about it. It's very clear. Life is life and therefore has nothing to do with its opposite, with death. So life has no partnership with death. And we feel, okay, that's that. But the next sentence that appears suddenly seems to contradict it. Namely, it says about truth, life and love are a law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves, because they declare nothing except God. So suddenly, after having said that truth has no consciousness of error, it says that truth annihilates error. Well, how can truth on earth annihilate error when truth has no consciousness of error? This is paradoxical. A thinker says this is paradoxical. That doesn't make sense. Either truth knows no error, then truth does not have to destroy error. On, and says, divine life destroys death. Well, if life has no partnership with death, what was said in the sentence before? How on earth then should life destroy death? Truth destroys error, and love destroys hate. Sorry, I jumped in the sentences. Yeah. No, I didn't jump. This is actually what happened afterwards. Okay, so this is one of the many examples that show us that when we reason on a one level, on one level alone, that these statements are paradoxical. And therefore, you must understand that intelligent people who begin to read Science and Health throw it away, because they say this woman is absolutely illogical. And from their standpoint, it is true. Because we are not yet trained, the thinkers in the world, not even the thinkers in the university, are trained to think in multidimensional way. Don't think that people that come out of university are very, very clever. They are not. I've just been trained in they are just trained in a certain sense, just like coming from an assembly line. They have done what they have been told to think and what they have told to remember, and then the university puts out these PhD people like me, like from an assembly line. Don't think that they are forward thinkers. You can't expect it anyway in that age. So But they learn something about logic, a little bit, and it's a two-value logic. And it's only one kind of logic that is always reasoning on one level. And what is not explainable through on that one level is either not true or it's paradoxical. And this is what happens when we read the textbook. Or take another example, just to pinpoint it. She says that the divine mind produces all actions. Well, this is a clear statement. It says all actions. She doesn't say some actions. All is all. So it produces all action, the divine mind. But on another occasion, she says, erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body. So suddenly there is mortal mind that produces all action applied to the mortal body, but it's still all action. Now, what is now all action? At one point she says, divine mind is all action, and the other as reference it is that mortal mind is all action of the body. Now, what is true? This is paradoxical. This is not clear. She says, another example, man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. That's a statement. Man is absolutely incapable of sin, sickness, and death. And then, in another sentence, she says, truth saves from sickness as well as from sin. Life, truth, and love save from sin, disease, and death. Well, why should truth save us from sin, sickness, and death when man is incapable of of having sin, disease, and death? There is no occasion for healing sin, sickness, and death when man is incapable of it. Or does it only apply to the animals, that the animals are healed of sin, sickness, and death? Can you see? These statements are absolutely contradictory when looked at from one level. So you know how, in many ways, Mrs. Eddy would say that God knows no disease, and then says God heals disease, contradictory. She says spirit knows no matter. We say, yes, that's very reasonable. And then she says spirit destroys matter. And how can spirit destroy matter when spirit does not know matter? So before spirit, matter disappears. Well, why should matter disappear when there is no matter? The moment you would begin, you see, it would be quite interesting once to go through the textbook and just mark all those contradictions. They go into the hundred of statements that you can say, well, they contradict each other. Now, Christian Scientists have been very good and very obedient to Mrs. Eddy, and took her word as for what it is, and so they have never been thinking about it. They have just read it and said, so it is. But the moment we begin to think about it and say, there must be a science behind her teaching, then we should also see the divine logic behind it. From the human standpoint, there is no logic in it. So therefore, there must be another logic than the human logic. There must be a multidimensional logic, must be the logic of the levels. The moment we introduce the levels into the Christian Science textbook and begin to read those statements with a level consciousness, with a dimensional consciousness, then we know what from which standpoint Mrs. Eddy writes a sentence. She doesn't say it in the margin and say, now, this sentence is from the level of divine science, and the next half sentence is from the level of Christian Science. She doesn't say that. We have to know it. And only if we know it, it makes sense. Yes? Therefore, can you see that without this dimensional logic, or say a dimensional consciousness, where we constantly know like the conductor of a symphony, that he constantly knows when he is guiding the orchestra, that he knows exactly every level, every instrument, what it has to play. That not every instrument has to play the same note, but that every instrument plays a different note at the same time, and also leads on horizontally the subject in a harmonious way. So the conductor thinks in vertical and horizontal line in a system with dimension. And this is, we should be such a conductor. The text that we have before us is the orchestra. It's not a single melody. We read it. Is that a right term, a single melody? No, that's not the right term. A melody with a single voice. Does that make sense? A melody which one person can sing or whistle. Person can only at the same time whistle one tone. So we can whistle a melody that is recognizable. The moment you have an orchestra, you have the same melody, but with a lot of dimension in it. Can I explain it this way? So that the conductor has to know the vertical, the dimensional sense, and the horizontal sense. Yes? And the textbook is written that way. The textbook is written in the way that it constantly brings forth the levels and the theme that rules through the text. The theme is given. It is usually the theme of mind, spirit, soul, but always on different levels. And she changes those levels either from paragraph to paragraph, or within a paragraph from sentence to sentence, as I have shown here with truth has no consciousness of error. The next sentence is truth destroys error. Or it is even written within one sentence. She has even sentences within which she changes the level. But she does tell us. We have to know it. We have to know it. And therefore, the better we know it, the better we can read, really, the textbook. Yes. Okay. So, having seen that, we can ask ourselves quickly, what are these four levels of science? Actually, I shouldn't ask this question. I actually should say, well, you have been preparing yourself by studying the level book for over months and months, so you know it. The whole level book over more than 200 pages is nothing else but to explain the four levels, so that in a way I think I can do it and recapitulate it as quickly as possible, but to give just the same the tonality of it. So we know from first, we know that we have to deal with four main levels of science, namely science itself, then divine science, then absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Now, a little side note, I have said the highest level, I started out and said science itself. I didn't say science. We have to somehow have a clear terminology so that we understand each other, because the highest level is not just science, because you know that on the chart you have on, from seen from you, that's the right-hand side, yes? You have science as a vertical, namely the science in divine science, the science in absolute Christian science, and the science in Christian science. So when we talk about science, we mean really here, the vertical here, the science of the various levels. But when we are speaking about the top level here horizontally, that top level horizontally you have seen is called science itself. In order to bring out that it is science as what it is in its scientific nature and criteria, Whereas the other sciences have a specific aspect. They are either the specific aspect of science in divine science or the specific aspect of science in absolute Christian science or in Christian science. So always when you talk about the highest level, call it science itself. So that makes a clear distinction between the other aspects of science.